And if you want airline peanuts, there's a company that's got 87,000 pounds of them sitting in surplus.
Wow. Are they honey roasted?
They're a mix, Jared, roasted and salted cashews, pistachios, pecans, and almonds. So as I was reading this story, I kind of went down a rabbit hole, and there was a very funny website that kind of listed the most inane complaints that airline passengers used to have during good times. And they have complaints on log of people complaining that their mix of hot nuts weren't properly balanced.
I'm sorry, what was that? Yeah.
Excuse me, flight attendant.
Right, there's not
the
enough.
The mix of my hot nuts is not balanced.
I'm not kidding you, dude. There are complaints on log about this. Hey, look, man, there's not enough pistachios in here, man. It's all walnuts. What's up with this?
Can I get a cashew in aisle four?
Right, cashew. Right. Now you can't get anything.
You're a honey roasted guy, Jarrett.
I don't love nuts, so I like stuff that, you know, adds a different flavor to it.
I discovered something that was right up my alley. It is the salt and vinegar almonds. You found your wasabi almonds, Vinny.
Wasabi I found my and salt soy and sauce.
I found my salt and vinegar.
I haven't tried those yet. I'd be willing to try.
Yeah.
But I can't. I mean, between the Southwest flavored Dots pretzels and the wasabi and soy sauce almonds, like those are like,
listen,
those are ranked one and two on the all time snack rankings.
You were so right about those Dots pretzels. I have not found the Southwest variety yet.
It will change your life.
I mean, just the regular brand is mind blowingly good.
Yes.
All right, Carlin, you
now
ready
we
to
get all the important stuff?
Yeah,
we did.
You ready to get this train wreck started? Let's go, Jarrett. Come on, Garrett!
The Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
We start the Splash today for Wednesday, August 5th, 2020, with three words. Devin freaking Booker.
Rebound Zubats. He loses it. Suns get it back to Rubio. Time. 6 seconds left in the game. Out to Booker. 5 seconds. 4 seconds. Booker on the drive. Goes up. Here's the shot. Shoot! He got it. And the Suns win the game. Devin Booker at the buzzer. Puts it up and puts it in. Oh, brother. Dee Booker.
That was the scene in Orlando yesterday. You're going to be hearing different versions of that call all day long because I'm going to play them over and over again.
It was truly a phenomenal moment, not just for him and not just for the basketball team, but here in the Valley, there were so many people tuned into the game, so many people wanting to believe they could win that game, and then to get that shot, that felt that was a feeling collectively we have not had in a long time.
No, and we've seen Devin Booker, like, the thesis statement here, Bick, is this is not new for Devin Booker. Right before we went on the air, I watched like a 5-minute montage of all the big game-winning shots he's hit. This was different, though. There was more eyeballs on this one, despite the fact that it was in the middle of the day. This, you know, was identified by us and many others as the first really meaningful game in Devin Booker's career at the end of the season,
exactly.
And that's what he does.
That's exactly, and that is part of what makes this so darn exciting. He had to create that shot out of nowhere, and to do it and hit it pure the way he did.
He got fouled, too.
Yeah, no, he did. It was phenomenal.
They also took out
a good Clippers team, and man, oh man, was that exciting.
Yeah, it was great. 3-0 now, the Suns, after 35 from Booker, who had 6 of 9 from three-point range. They are a game and a half behind ninth-seeded Portland. They got a big win last night, the Blazers did. They beat Houston. One time I root for the Rockets, they can't deliver. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I know.
But things are getting interesting.
The odds are
still long. There's still a lot of work to be done, and there's still a lot of help that the Suns need. But, man, they're in this thing, and it's pretty phenomenal to watch.
The win over the Clippers is the heaviest lift of the bunch. So everything they've got coming up, they can do. They can beat every team that is in front of them. There's going to be some more tough games, but the hardest ask was yesterday's, and they pulled that off. And it should fill them with so much confidence and so much desire. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about this from a lot of different angles because this is cool. I didn't expect this. I wanted this. I didn't expect this.
The team in the eighth seed, the Memphis Grizzlies, perilously hanging on to the eighth seed.
Suffered
They've
an injury.
0-3, and now they're without Jaren Jackson Jr., who had been playing his best basketball in Orlando, averaging over 25 points in those three games. But he's got a torn meniscus, or as we call it on this show, a Bickley.
A Bickley injury.
And he's out for the year. And it's a terrible loss. I'm not sitting here applauding the fact that a player got hurt. It's terrible for the Grizzlies, who are now really up against it. But, you know, even before this happened, on yesterday's show, we were talking about how the Grizzlies were just opening the door for everybody behind them. And this is really, really a horrible development for their chances.
To me, it has changed everything, because I think the goal going in for teams was the mindset that if we can get to the number 9 seed, we're going to get a chance to play two games, both of them must win against an 8 seed. Mm-hmm. So that seemed to be the goal. That 8 seed might be up for grabs. And if some team can come from behind and get the 8 seed and only have to win one of two games against the play-in team, that's a huge advantage. And I don't know how Memphis is going to handle this, but this is a huge loss for them.
Absolutely. And people were assuming, oh, Memphis will take on that 9 seed if they're within four games. Memphis might not be 8 or 9 when it's all said and done. That's how tight things are. The Arizona Coyotes find themselves even at a game apiece in their best of 5 qualifying series with Nashville. Preds took game 2 yesterday 4-2. It's 4-0, but Clayton Keller and Lawson Crouse scored 9 seconds apart in the final minute to make it look a little bit better on the score sheet. A not so promising note from yesterday's game: backup goalie Antti Raanta took a shot off the mask in warmups, left the bench in the second period, was replaced by third stringer Aiden Hill. Another game today, the rare playoff back-to-back, it makes the whole goalie situation murky. Darcy Kuemper wasn't great yesterday either, but no matter. Pivotal Game 3 faces off today in Edmonton, 11:30 between the Coyotes and the Predators.
And Antti Raanta, he puts up great numbers when he's healthy, but man, does he miss a lot of time for a lot of different reasons. Yeah, I've seen the video of him taking that shot off the face mask, and he skated off the ice, and he was laughing, and he looked okay. Now, that doesn't mean that he didn't suffer a concussion and get some bad headaches later, which is clearly must have been what happened, but
that's
just
why
disappointing.
That's why he was unfit to play.
Right.
Maybe the worst terminology the NHL's ever come up with. If you were wondering if a day off would help the Arizona Diamondbacks, wonder no more. It didn't. Jose Altuve of the Astros set the tone, clubbed a solo home run off of Madison Bumgarner in the top of the first inning. Astros went on to win 8-2. Bumgarner allowed 8 runs, 7 earned in 4 1/3 innings, took the loss. The bats were quiet again, just 7 hits, no home runs. And they scored their second run on a bases-loaded walk when they were down 8-1. Torrey Lovello made all kinds of substitutions in the 6th inning, claims he wasn't sending a message, instead getting some rest for starters going into Game 2 of the series tonight, which will pit Robbie Ray against Lance McCullers, 6:10 first pitch, 5:30 pregame here on the 87.
Yeah, he subbed out 5 guys, and it was a very dramatic move, and he did it fairly early on in the game, and it's to say that he wasn't sending a message, I don't know why he doesn't just cop to that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think it was a pretty strong message he was sending. The baseball team has just been they are just a hot mess right now,
which is shocking when you consider, you know, the amount of faith the Diamondbacks fan base has in Torrey Lovello, this roster, and the front office.
Yeah.
Mike Hazen was on with Doug and Wolf, and he said, we got no excuses, so we'll hear a lot from him today as well. Phoenix Mercury reeled off their 3rd straight win in the WNBA bubble. They beat Atlanta 81-74. Diana Taurasi, 20 points. Brittany Griner added 18. Mercury will take on Chicago tomorrow. And the UConn Huskies became the first Division I college football team to opt out of the 2020 season over coronavirus concerns. Their athletic director, David Benedict, said in a news release, quote, after receiving guidance from state and public health officials and consulting with football student athletes, we've decided that we will not compete on the gridiron this season. Mm. The safety challenges created by COVID-19 place our football student athletes at an unacceptable level of risk. Now, it is fair to note that UConn left their conference officially last month. They were expected to play this season as an independent, and there would have been all kinds of scheduling difficulties to try to build a schedule with most conferences going league only for 2020, mm-hmm. so I think that factored into it as well.
Yeah, but
this is not a good thing for college football.
No, it's not. There are a lot of people that think that eventually this is going to be all about the Power 5 basically seceding from the NCAA. Everything in college sports seems to be pointing in that direction. Mm-hmm. We'll see where this all ends up. This is their landscape's going to change more than any.
Yeah, there's your splash for August 5th.